come up on a tight wire. One side's ice and one is fire. It's a circus.
Continuing the conversation now on this Monday. Good to have you here. Hope you had a great weekend. And talking about the Netroots gathering and, of course, AOC and Tlaib, Ilhan Omar and Ayanna Pressley, the four horsemen of the Democratic apocalypse, riding out roughshod over Nancy Pelosi and anybody else that gets in their way, spreading this idea that somehow socialism is the way of the future in America. Of course, it's not. It's not been the future for any country that's tried. It's failed everywhere miserably. Joining me now, David Roberts, author of The Death of Liberty, The Socialist Destruction of America's Freedoms Using the Income Tax. David, welcome to the program.
Hey, Steve. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. So tell us about this book and why you decided to write it and why the income tax? Why is that the baseline of problems in your estimation?
Well, the book came out of 2 years of research that I was doing based on 8 years of Obama. During the Obama administration, I got audited 8 years in a row.
Wow.
And when I started to do this research with the book, then it occurred to me, you know, there's been a million books written on the IRS. Everybody knows how horrible it is. Most people don't know you lose your Bill of Rights when you go to tax court. You lose your Fourth, Fifth, and First Amendment, among others. But it dawned on me, Steve, I'm like, how did we ever get here? How did we ever allow an income tax, which was not the founders' intent? They didn't want any direct taxes. And then when we were doing the research in the book, I started discovering that during the Progressive Era, when the income tax was actually ratified, it was the second tenet of the Communist Manifesto. So our entire revenue system is based on a Marxist ideology.
Yeah. I can't believe you're audited 8 years in a row. We got audited once about 2 or 3 years ago. It was in a random audit, a compliance audit, they called it. They told me that I just happened to get my name pulled out of a hat. I said, really? And anyway, that's for a different day. But 8 years in a row, that makes life a bit difficult now, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, and during those 8 years, I paid more money into my tax professionals than I ever paid to the IRS.
Right. Same with us.
But, you know, I was, but the, you know, I kept telling folks, anybody that would listen, that they were targeting the Tea Party. I was a very active, original Tea Party activist and business owner, donated to conservative causes, conservative candidates. And sure enough, it turns out that the IRS was targeting them. And it wasn't just 501Cs. That's what you hear about. But it was more than that.
So as you look at this, the income tax in the United States, the federal income tax, went into effect in 1913, if my math is right on that. It came in right as at the back end of Teddy Roosevelt's administration, heading into Woodrow Wilson's administration. But you're right, during a progressive era in American politics. And then, of course, Woodrow Wilson came in and ushered in the state of government that we have now, which is all bureaucrats and agencies and people controlling us in much different ways. How do you make the income tax fair? How do you make it work? Would your plan be to get rid of it altogether, which, of course, is a beautiful idea, but it would never happen?
Yeah, unfortunately, you're probably right. But you know, when you went back and studied this, it turns out that, you know, the GOP passed it to kill it. Where have you heard that before?
Yep.
They passed it in 1908. They thought, well, we'll just, you know, this is, you got to remember the era at that point. You're hearing a lot of the same things that you're hearing out of the Democratic Socialists today: income inequality, the eat the rich, the robber barons of the time back then are now the tech giants and the corporations and the CEOs of those corporations today. And so history is just repeating itself, Steve. But I will tell you that this brand of socialism that you hear from the quad, whatever you want to call them, the AOC types,
sure,
is not what I grew up with. And, you know, I'm 60 years old. Socialism was considered a bad word, like communism. Most people aren't taught that socialism, the goal of socialism is communism. That's according to Lenin. And so what you're hearing today, when the GOP is trying to message this about socialism is bad, it always leads to bloodshed, and totalitarianism is that they think it's about equality. It's about income equality. It's about LGBTQ rights, about all these other things. But they don't understand economics whatsoever.
Ever. They don't know math very well. No, the progressive era, you talk about William Jennings Bryan ran for president several times, lost several times, but he was a champion of workers' rights, talking about income inequality, talking about unions, talking about strengthening that part of America. Now, the good news out of all that is that the Democrats, in putting him up on the ticket, lost three times in a row. So I guess there's some hope out there that the Democrats will find a way to lose this election, which I think they will, because you look at a Bernie Sanders or an Elizabeth Warren, their ideas are so far left. I don't believe it flies here in Michigan where I live or in the states around me like Ohio or Pennsylvania or Wisconsin, the upper Midwest, Rust Belt, industrial heart of the nation states. I don't see it working here, and therefore I see that to being a roadblock to any Democrat that's believed to be a socialist Democrat, because if you look at other polling, you will find, David, that the polling says if there's a socialist Democrat on the ticket, Donald Trump wins in a matchup with an unnamed Democrat. What do you think of that?
I think you're right. And you got to look at the economy, too. I mean, the economy's blowing and going, which is the biggest thing in favor of Trump. But you're right. I don't think any of that plays in the Rust Belt. I don't think any of the socialism. You know, he even got Biden. I don't think the open borders. And you know, Biden had just said last week that he didn't believe in borders. So he's the more pressure he gets from those folks, the more left he goes. And I just don't think it's going to play well in 2020. And I think the economy remains strong. It doesn't matter who the Democrats put up.
Well, excellent. You know, here's the thing. Biden said yesterday when he was assaulted by a mob, and he said no to the mob. They said, will you apologize for 3 million deportations during the Obama administration? He said no. Will you tell us that you'll do no deportations as president? He said no. You can't have that kind of, you know, you're not going to make that kind of commitment. So they have found a place where Joe Biden will say, that's too far and I won't go there. Actually give him credit for standing up to the mob a little bit. But at the end of the day, there's too much talk of loosening our regulations. You live in Texas. You get it more than we do here in Michigan. The Canadians are not invading thus far, thankfully. But you're having a lot of trouble down there, and it's not getting noticeably better yet, but it could if we would have the wherewithal and the intelligence to pass some important laws. I'll give you the last word here.
Yeah, I would tell we've sounded the alarm bells here. I mean, Texas could turn blue, and I'm not kidding. When you've had years of open borders, and you look at the last election that we had here, we lost all the cities are blue, just like they are in the rest of the country now, the urban areas. And so, you know, we lose Texas. There's no mathematical way that future Republican presidents win the Electoral College. So, you know, this is the open borders have been a problem for both parties, the Chamber of Commerce. You know, some of this is detailed in the book, the gold rush, the tax money that's through the income tax that's going directly to illegals and dependents aren't even in the country.
Yeah,
we better wake up pretty quick.
Got to leave it right there. David Roberts, great conversation. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Good morning.
For more than 65 years, Enbridge has been safely delivering the North American energy you rely on to fuel your vehicle, heat your home, and power commerce and manufacturing. We're proud to be a part of communities across Michigan and contribute millions in local property taxes each year, which helps support schools, emergency responders, and local government needs. At Enbridge, we're helping to fuel your quality of life. Learn more at Enbridge.com/Michigan. Enbridge. Life takes energy.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It was a moment.
It was a moment that changed my life.
We looked down from the chopper and saw the whole area was flooded.
At that moment, it really hit me. This is why I joined the Guard.
People had gone up to the rooftops to escape the rising waters.
Talk about intense moments. We had to lower the guys online some 30 feet down.
This is where teamwork and training really paid off.
It took steady nerves and steady hands for the chopper pilots to hover like that.
No question, Guard pilots are the best in the world.
I couldn't believe it. I just saved a life.
What could be better than serving the people of my hometown?
In the National Guard, you serve your community as well as your country while you work or attend college. In return, you gain skills in which you can build a career and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Learn more about what it means to be a citizen soldier at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan National Guard, aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
I'm a counselor for the Michigan Problem Gambling Helpline. People don't want to call us. They're ashamed, and they don't think they can be helped. I have years of experience as a counselor, and real-life experience, too. I was a gambler once myself, so nothing you say can shock me. It's my job to help you, so call me.
Call 1-800-270-7117 for help. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.